What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, where you'll find out what the Fukushima's going on.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It's Thursday, August 17th, 2017 here, and sure happy it's Thursday, sure happy it's Thursday, sure happy it's Thursday. And I'm going to apologize up front. I seem to have picked up a rather nasty head cold, so I'm going to be hitting the volume cutoff button here because I'm sneezing and coughing and all kinds of stuff. But so that's what's going on over here. Okay, we've got a lot of stuff to talk about today. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Mike is in our control room, ready to answer the phone, put you on the air. And obviously the big story now is this terror attack over in Barcelona. Terror, 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 terror. And apparently this individual drove this white van deliberately up on the sidewalk, hit a crowd, 13 dead, 30, more than 30 injured. And then supposedly there was a hostage crisis, then there wasn't. Then supposedly the perpetrators were holed up in a restaurant, then they weren't. And then they said the driver had run away and he encountered the police and they tried to arrest him and they shot and killed him. How very, very convenient. Basically, at this point, I hereby demand that President Trump come on out and denounce white van supremacy. Because if he doesn't come out and denounce white van supremacy, then he should be impeached here. Now, according to a still unnamed terrorism monitoring organization, ISIS is supposedly taking credit for this. So this is feeling like another attempt to get ISIS to be the villains, and oh, we have to go get ISIS no matter where they are, and well, right now they're in Syria. And the interesting thing is it's come on out. The CIA actually warned Spanish police that this resort area, Las Ramblas, was a likely terror attack target 2 months ago. Now, the guy who they think was the driver, who's now dead, was a migrant, but he was a legal Spanish citizen. And apparently they're still trying to dig into all of that. But ISIS is taking credit. And interestingly enough, they're saying, we inspired the guy. Anyway, let's get on back to this aftermath of Charlottesville, because it's still out there. They're still pounding on it as hard as they can. And Paul Joseph Watson had a very excellent observation. It's simply stunning that the media and the political class is trying to pretend that the last 18 months of Antifa, Black Lives Matter violence just didn't happen. Remember all the snowflakes after Hillary lost the election? They were out there in the streets of all these cities, and they were tearing the place up, even in cities that Hillary had won, which showed a certain lack of coordination there. And apparently over on CNN, Van Jones literally broke into tears over President Trump blaming both sides. And if you look at the videos from Charlottesville, yes, both sides initiated violence. Both sides were fighting. And if you want to look for an initiating event, it's the tear down of the Confederate statues. And so these people who are respectful of history went on in to defend the statues, to protest the tear down of the statues, and Antifa and Black Lives Matter showed up smuggling weapons in ice chests. If you want to really be honest, you want to say it was Antifa and Black Lives Matter who are responsible for the violence, just like that altercation out in California at a police station, or the fact that they literally crashed the funeral of this one woman who supposedly died, and they walked in with bats and just started hitting people. Yeah, they're the instigators of the violence. But the conventional wisdom in Washington, D.C. is, oh, no, no, the blacks and the browns, they're always the victims. You can never find fault with them. It's always those white people, those evil white people. We've got to just demonize them. And it is rather silly. Donald Trump is accurate. Both sides are to blame. And if you look at the videos, it's very, very obvious. Nobody gave peace a chance, including the police. The police just jammed these two crowds together and then stood back. They let it happen. The violence in Charlottesville was deliberately orchestrated and engineered by the mayor of Charlottesville, Michael Signer, and Virginia Governor Terry McAuliffe, who's a long, long time Clinton crony. That's what's going on. And let us not forget that the guy who put together Unite the Right, Jason Kessler, before he did this, we're going to organize the right, he was an Obama supporter. He was involved with the Occupy movement. He's a plant. He set up this organization to lure conservatives in, to set them up to be humiliated and embarrassed and sabotage this right out of the COINTEL playbook. And now that convenient witness, the first witness to speak to the news media about the event was this Brennan Gilmore. Turns out he worked in Africa as the U.S. State Department Foreign Service officer before leaving to manage the campaign of Tom Perriello for Virginia governor. And guess who was funding that campaign? George Soros. This whole thing stinks to high heaven. We're going to do a shout-out now to our on-air affiliates who are rejoining the network. And we're going to take a phone call from Dustin in New Jersey. Dustin, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. Boy, Hi. Van Jones must be going through a lot of Kleenex because it seems like he really cares about all those inner-city blacks that kill each other. Is he cheering an eye for those guys?
No, he isn't. You know, what they're out there trying to do is basically caricature all Trump supporters as white supremacists and racists to make people embarrassed to vote for the Republican Party in next year's elections.
You know, the bodies aren't even cold yet in Barcelona, and CNN is already, it's all Trump's fault, you know. The moon landing crash, you know, Trump's fault. This is Trump's fault. It's Putin's fault. It's Trump's fault. It's Putin's Trump. You know, it's duck season. It's crazy. I mean, Mike, you know what's scary? I've seen some unedited pictures from the Barcelona. I've seen baby stroller crushed. I've seen some really bad pictures, Mike. It's bad,
yes,
over there. You know, but you know one thing I didn't notice? I didn't notice any of those people having bats, pipes, and 2x4s and concrete-filled water bottles.
Yes.
I didn't notice that. You know, yeah, that Charlotte was a setup. And there's another rally coming up, in, I believe, in Lexington, Kentucky. I suggest stay home.
Yeah, absolutely. Stay. Well, you know, they're hiring these people to go on out there and basically stage a fight for the TV news cameras. You know, we're starting to hear from all kinds of people who have been demonized in the media that, yeah, they got suckered. They get called up by a TV network and they say, we want to do a story about you. And then they come on in and they try and stage manage and just get any footage they can that demonizes the person. When it finally comes on out and it's fully edited, it makes them look really, really bad and stupid. And it's one of the reasons why, by and large, I turn down all requests for interviews and documentaries. The last one I did was the History Channel, and I was very nervous about doing that because, all the way back, the New York Times was out there trying to say that I claimed that there was proof of ancient civilizations on Mars. I mean, that's how desperate they are to smear us. But History Channel's America's Book of Secrets actually did a very good job of what they were talking about, and I came off looking really good. So did all the other guests who were there being interviewed, including Alex Jones. He's on there as well. So that was a very positive experience. But at these days, I'm absolutely terrified of anybody in the corporate media coming on up and saying, we're going to do a story about you. We're going to make you look really good. Because they never do. They never do.
You know, Mike, one thing that they can do with these false flags, you know, some are false flags, some are not. I don't know. But, you know, they can hire crisis actors, bring them all,
yes,
there, and then have,
yes,
get somebody to run over them, you know. Or they can just have a suicide bomber that, you know, like an ISIS character, blow himself up because, you know, they're all easy pickings from, like, Saudi Arabia, I guess, right?
Or, yes.
You know. But, I mean, that's the different ways they can do it. You know, let's bring these crisis actors in, and then we'll get somebody to drive over them, and then they'll turn, you know, they'll use that against Trump. You know, it's all propaganda. You know, it's sad. You know.
Well, you know, there's sad, some man. Drone footage that's come on out from that whole car incident. And from the street level, it looked like there was a massive crowd there. But from the overhead view on the drone, they literally were crowded into the intersection to make it look like it was crowded. And you go another couple of feet in any direction, it's absolutely empty. Absolutely empty. It was being stage managed.
But you know what the biggest joke is? They said it was too dangerous. What all these police officers get all these weapons and riot gear for then? Yeah, I mean, come on. Anybody believe that crap? You know, oh, it's too dangerous. Then what do you got all this riot gear dressed up like stormtroopers from Star Wars? Yeah, I mean, what a joke.
Yeah, they're getting all these surplus military hardware from the U.S. government. Yeah, don't tell me that you're afraid and you're running away. I mean, we knew that was a crock out at the Rodney King riots when the trial came back on those police officers and they were all declared not guilty. And we all knew there were going to be riots, and sure enough, there were. And the riots got going, and the LAPD just ran like heck, saying, oh, we're afraid, we can't deal with this. But, you know, they had those armored vehicles back then. They had the bulletproof vests. They wanted the thing to get out of control. And we later found out that this was all a big government operation. It was called, the code names were Garden Plot and Cable Splice. And it was all there to just, you know, again, manipulate the minds of the American people. And so is this. And so is Barcelona.
If they don't think if people don't think that governments won't kill their own citizens for power and control, they just don't know history. Thanks, Mike.
You're absolutely right there. Government would kill off one quarter of every single living American as long as it made the surviving three quarters obedient slaves. We're going to go to James in South Carolina. Aloha, James. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
I was wondering, have they given a reason why they removed the statue of the monument of Roger Toney in Baltimore?
They're basically saying anybody who had any connection with the Confederacy, the statue was gone.
Toney was Supreme Court Justice of the United States. He was not. It's not a Confederate symbol. He was not in the Confederacy. He was the Chief Justice when the Dred Scott decision was made.
But Roger Toney had nothing to do with the Confederacy. Yeah, I mean, it's getting ridiculous out there where basically the rationale now is they want to tear down absolutely everything that was built with slave labor, which, if you look at your history, includes the U.S. Capitol Building, Wall Street, Trinity Church, UNC Chapel Hill, Monticello, the Castillo de San Marcos down there in Florida, Mount Vernon, the University of Virginia, the Washington and Lee University, and so forth and so on. Now, if you look at the list of important places built with slave labor, most of them will include the White House, and that's not historically accurate. Yes, there were slaves working on the White House, but in order to incentivize them to do the best job they could, they were actually paid. And that's a little detail of history that a lot of these people out there saying, oh, the White House was built with slave labor, we should tear it down. No, the slaves who worked in the White House were actually being paid in order to encourage them to do a really good job. And by the way, let's be honest, there's almost nothing of the original White House left there anyway. It's constantly being rebuilt and rebuilt and rebuilt, and I think there's like one section of the exterior wall in one corner on the ground level that is the only remaining piece of the White House as known by people like John Adams. And it's been completely gutted and renovated and rebuilt, and they dig down and put on all that stuff down in the basement. The White House that you see today has almost nothing to do with the White House that was built back in the 1700s. That's another reality.
Well, Ulysses S. Grant owned a slave. He was the last president. Grant was the last president ever that had been a slave owner. And also his wife owned slaves, and those slaves that his wife owned were not freed until the 13th Amendment did it. Do you think they might close Grant's tomb in New York?
Well, yeah, there you are. I mean, they're just out there. Anything built by slaves, we're going to tear it down. Hey, the pyramids were built by slaves. Let's nuke those things right now.
Okay. That's all I had, Michael. Thank you.
All right, thanks an awful lot here. We're going to switch to Don in Iowa. Aloha, Don. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
First, I want to compliment you. Your bumper music is good. I like that one especially. I can't get no work. I can't draw no pay. Unemployment getting worse every day. Who is that guy?
I think you're talking about The Panic is On.
Yeah, who is that guy?
Yeah, that's a guy. Oh, I have to go back in my memory. I mean, it's from the 1930s. Right. And if you go to WRHradio.com, which is the webpage devoted to this show, halfway down there's a link, the music from the What Really Happened radio show, and there's a little player in there where you can go on in and, you know, what the heck, let me just do this right now, radio.com. We'll skip on down there, and I'm blanking on the name, but he was a very famous folk music recording artist of the day.
Yeah,
and,
not Woody Guthrie.
No, it's not Woody Guthrie. It's not Woody Guthrie. It is. Let me just look in here. Whoops. Boy, I'm kind of crazy here.
That doesn't matter anyway. I just wanted to tell you your music is good, and I like that. But we'll track it down later on. It's okay, Mike.
Okay, Hezekiah Jenkins is his name.
Hezekiah Jenkins. Okay. Well, what I want to talk about is Trump. Yeah, this whole thing, now the press is so excited. They're going to put the pressure on Trump. They're going to get rid of him. But they can't get rid of him. There's no way. Unless he wants to leave, he might just say, I've had enough. I just go play golf and hell with it. But I don't think he's going to do that.
Well, now, wait a minute. If push comes to shove, they can do the John F. Kennedy approach on him.
I don't think they will. I don't think they're going to shoot him. They can
I wouldn't put it past them.
They could shoot. He could be shot. Yeah, that's true. He could be assassinated. Not going to look very good.
Apparently, the Secret Service is already on the case of this Missouri state senator who tweeted on out, we got to assassinate Donald Trump. And look at how many dead bodies lie in the wake of the Clintons. You think one more is going to bother them? That they're even going to hesitate if they think they can get away with it?
I don't think they'll assassinate. It's not easy to assassinate a president. A lot of people want to assassinate every president, especially Obama when he first got elected. People want to assassinate him. They don't do it. It's not that easy. But if they do it, it's not going to look too
good. Of the people out there saying, I want to assassinate somebody this or that or anything, they're just mouthing off. And anybody who seriously is thinking about assassinating a leader, they're not going to telegraph it. They're not going to advertise it. And everybody who's out there casually talking about, oh, I'm going to kill this person or that person and everything, they're obviously somebody who's never actually killed somebody because it's not as easy to do as you think. And it's not as easy to live with afterwards, unless you're a total psychopath.
He's going to stay there. He's going to stay there for at least 4 years, and then he has a choice. It looks like to me like all of these people that don't like him now are resigning in protest. It's starting already, these business leaders. He said, bye-bye, don't let the door hit you, you know, and he can say that to everybody. He should just call a meeting. Anybody that doesn't like me, get the hell out of here. We'll hire Mike Rivero to be the communications director or whatever. And we'll hire some
I want NASA. I want to be the head of NASA. And my first order is going to be to order all the ground crews to dress up like apes every time an astronaut returns to Earth.
Okay, but then 4 years from now, he doesn't need the Republican Party. He could start 2 years ahead of time to start his own party, and he can.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, the GOP is deserting Donald Trump. The Democrats are out for his head on a spike, and frankly, I think Trump needs to get much more assertive. Again, he tried to come into the White House. He wanted to be magnanimous in victory. He sort of thought politics is a lot like business, and it isn't. It's a completely different animal. And he should have just scraped out that White House and executive office building, you know, right down to the bare walls and said, all of you Obama holdovers and you inside players, you are gone. And he should have staffed up his administration with qualified people who can do the job but who are from outside the Beltway and do not come into the job with all these compromising connections. That the people he has now. I mean, the turnover there at the White House is so rapid these days. They got a banner out front now saying, now hiring. And at this point, hardly anybody wants to apply.
I think he is starting. He's starting to get more assertive than he did on this Charlottesville thing. He just
needs to get
truth.
Those presidential brass knuckles on right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
He is. He's starting, and he has no choice. That's all he can do.
Okay, we've got to let you go. We got to do a break for commercials, and we'll be right back. Folks,
folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Well, they're stealing down on Wall Street and in Washington, too. You know, it makes me wonder what's a guy on Main Street to do. I've always tried to be an honest, upstanding kind of guy. But I must admit lately, I thought about giving something else a try. Oh, I want to be a pirate. I want to sail the seven seas. Yeah, I want to be a pirate. I want to do.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And we're going to go right back to the telephones here. Sherry in Texas, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. You know, when it comes to ignoring rights through lies and all this and displacing what doesn't work for the rich and doing things in the name of greed, I realize this goes really back to Mount Rushmore in South Dakota. Now, if I'm not mistaken, that was a really sacred place to where the Native Americans could honor their ancestors.
Yes.
And it was taken over through lies, maybe war, deceit, and their rights ignored, I'm sure, in the process. I mean, this is now we see up there Washington, Jefferson, Lincoln, Roosevelt. Is there a fifth one?
No, there's only the four, but they're already talking about going on up there and knocking off Washington and Jefferson for owning slaves, and Teddy Roosevelt because he's a racist, although they're a little less clear on how he got that label. And that would leave Lincoln up there, and of course I have a problem with that because the reality is he lied the nation into the Civil War. It was never really about slavery. It was about tax revenues.
I mean, it seemed kind of ironic. I mean, if that's the right word, it's just sort of weird, and now they're lying about our history and wanting to displace us because it's and ignoring our rights for their purposes. And I'm kind of beginning to see the enemy as someone that takes away what works for the people and replacing it with what works for the monopolies or the globalists or something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, it's like when they voted through the Federal Reserve System. But I'll tell you what's really ironic. We're running the risk of a whole new civil war over this issue of erasing the monuments of the last civil war. That's irony for you.
Yeah, it's really weird. It's really weird how far back this goes. I mean, maybe we're going to halt that outrageous behavior that dates so far back in time. Wouldn't it be great if, in a way, if it did collapse and the people could just pull together and we could, I mean, what a turnaround from all that history behind us and our rights, our privacy, our rights, and all this are only beginning to be ignored. When I think of what goes on in grocery stores, they're trying to get me to check out my own stuff. Well, never mind, you can use your check. We have little people in the tower up there that'll check into your bank for you. And then and the communication things, you know, that are going on, wanting to get us all on these phones and everything. You know, it's just like it's just beginning this whole thing through deceit to get rid of what doesn't work for them. You know what I mean? It's really weird. So I just thought I'd kind of put it in a long time perspective there.
Well, it's all about forcing us into dependence on their system. And, of course, that is how slavery is imposed on a population throughout history. That's what King George III was doing to the American colonists. And, of course, we all know how that wound up being resolved. Okay?
Okay, thanks.
All right, thank you. We're going to switch over to Russ in Minnesota. I think it's Minnesota or Montana, one of the two here. Minnesota. Russ in Minnesota, what's on your mind?
Well, Mike, I wanted to say, no matter what channel you turn on, no matter which media outlet you turn on, you're going to hear the words white nationalist, Nazi, KKK, and you're going to hear about slavery, and you're going to hear about blacks, Black Lives Matter. But can you please tell me why the issue that Jews brought the blacks here never comes up? Am I a hater for thinking that nobody out there will ever bring that fact up?
Well, actually, we had an article about that very topic on the front page of whatreallyhappened.com this morning. And yeah, the reality is that whites did not enslave the blacks. Africa in that day and age saw a lot of tribal warfare. One tribe would make war on another, and the victors would enslave the losers, and it was Africans selling the African slaves to the Jewish slave traders. And that's something that hardly anybody ever talks about. Anyway, Russ, I got to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read a few from Amazon.com. Dr. Sam Serino reviewed the Extendivite product. Good ingredients, feeling much better since taking product. It seems that the tablets work well. Once again, thank you for your product. My acid reflux is really improved thanks to the Extendivite. Together with my thumb joints, the pain is gone and I'm able to grip things much better. My friend has peripheral arterial disorder and their lower legs were hurting at a red color, but thankfully there has been a significant improvement. Kind regards, Janice. My husband feels a big difference using Extendivite. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Keylor Max's Nutramedical Heavy Metal Detox formula includes DMSA, dimercaptosuccinic acid, EDTA, ethylene diamine tetraacetic acid, cilantro, chlorella, garlic in a special form that researchers have benefited from removing heavy metals, and acetylcysteine and alpha-lipoic acid. This oral formula is the best oral formula available in the world for removing heavy metals safely from the body. It also has a special Shilajit addition of trace elements from the Himalayan mountains and humic fulvic acid to replace trace minerals drawn out by the Keylor Max. Keylor Max is the best oral chelation agent available in the world, and you can obtain it at Nutri, N-U-T-R-I, medical.com, 888-212-8871, that's Nutri, N-U-T-R-I, medical.com, or 888-212-8871.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight. Women and children alike.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And following up on Russ's comments here, I feel I need to say something. This obsession with the slavery of the antebellum South, again, it is something that happened in the past. No white person alive today in the United States of America has ever owned a slave. No black person alive today in the United States of America has ever had to pick cotton. But the reality is we are all, white or black, brown, red, peach, taupe, mauve, plaid, slaves anyway, to the Infernal Revenue Service, to the Federal Reserve, to the IMF, to the military-industrial complex, to the medical-industrial complex. We do not have the freedom to be independent. We are forced to buy and use certain products, to surrender our money for things we don't really want. And that really is an ideal definition of slavery, that your work product is taken away from you and you get nothing in return that you want. But this obsession with the slavery of the antebellum South is being fanned up to divide the American people against each other so that we don't unite together against the slavery that is happening in front of us right now, today. You think about that for a while. And by the way, I'm getting nasty emails from everybody saying, well, you're a beneficiary of slavery. Your ancestors owned slaves. No, my ancestors ran a station on the Underground Railroad. Now, getting on back to the phones. Hatchie from Hatch 3, I guess. Aloha. Hey, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Aloha, Mike. How are you today?
I'm doing fine.
Hey, it's good to see your show every day. I've been a listener since probably 2005,
mm-hmm.
2006, whenever you went live with a screen. I think your show a lot, and you're a lot of the time on the money, most of the time. Well, you know, I just was going to say, Mike, I wouldn't, if I were you or anyone out there in your listening audience, be surprised if one of these mornings or late evenings we're waking up or going to sleep on a message like they're going to ban all currency because it's got pictures of slave-owning old white dudes on all the dollars and stuff. And I mean, if I don't die from rage or die from laughter, I'll call you back if that happens.
That's a good one. That's how they're going to bring about the cashless society. Oh, those are slave owners on those notes. Actually, that's not true. I don't think Ben Franklin owned any slaves.
Well, he probably didn't need to.
Lincoln
did. One of the smartest head of the bunch.
Lincoln didn't own any slaves. Washington and Jefferson. I don't know about Alexander Hamilton.
But you know that with Lincoln, there's some correspondence going around with his secretary and others where he makes his feelings well known about what he thinks of blacks or, better yet, just slaves in general in that station in life, whatever. And I've read him before. There's a lot of real naughty letters running around that he wrote just out of love for other people. Let's just call it that.
Yeah, we published that. We posted that, rather, on whatreallyhappened.com, I think, yesterday. But the reality is Lincoln only took up the issue of freeing the slaves as a device to get the Union to go and reconquer the South. And in his private communications, he had indicated that he thought blacks were inferior, that they should not be allowed to have the same rights to vote and property that the whites did. And he was quoted at one time as saying that if he could have held the Union together by leaving the blacks slaves, he would have done so. The slaves were freed as an incidental effect of his attempt to bring the Union back together and bring those southern tax revenues back to the Washington, D.C. coffers. The irony there is that without the advantage of the slave labor force, the southern plantations were forced to hire people to work in the cotton fields or everything else, and as a result, their profits went down, and so did the tax revenues coming out of the South.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no doubt about that. I mean, and with history, without blinders on, we can see this. You know, because everything does get a return in the world. I mean, in all of life, it would appear that everything gets its return, and this is one of those incidents. I don't know if there was ever an age of stupidity or of only emotions, you know, trumping every thoughtful thing. But, man, this is really something. I mean, this isn't the same country I was born in, and I'm sure a lot of people feel that way. It's just it blows my mind at what this, at least generation, it would seem last couple generations are taking for real. You know, it's like trying to make things real compared to what their ideas are whack. And I mean, I'm not trying to generalize here, man. I just don't know what I've been trying to give them a break. But this whole millennialism thing, whatever it came from, God, could that be from us?
Well, hang on a second. The millennials are merely a designation of a population born in at a certain time. And a lot of millennials are out there, and they're conservative, and they've got good jobs, and they're doing really well. But what we are talking about is this subset of liberal snowflakes who believe that they are perpetual victims, who believe that they are owed support by the government in exchange for doing nothing. And they figure if they just whine loud enough, they're going to get everything they want. And unfortunately, this being a politically driven government, they tend to do. Who whines the most gets the most goodies from the government. It does have to stop because, eventually the government's going to run out of other people's money.
Well, I do agree with you there. You know, I might should have, when I said that, it's not a generalized, but I should probably include another age demographic there, because whatever it is that's happening here is unlike anything I have ever found in history, and I'm definitely a revisionist when it comes to history. At least I look further in than the regular story, his story. Well, really, Mike, I just wanted to declare also, God bless you guys, and thanks for all the work you do. You're a good brother. Thank you.
All right, well, thank you very much. And by the way, I don't like that phrase historical revisionism because it sounds like you're trying to fake something like 1984. I prefer the term historical correctionist because we understand that a huge amount of what we think is history is a pack of lies. History is a joke.
We have to lie to about it. Yeah, I agree with that too. Right on.
All right. Thank you very much. We're going to let you go. But history is a joke played by the victors on the vanquished in front of an audience that's too scared to laugh. That's really what history is all about. And we know from recent events like Saddam's nuclear bombs that prudence demands we re-examine everything we have been told, including the orthodox history of World War II, the sinking of the USS Maine, the Lusitania, torpedoes in the Gulf of Tonkin. And every time we go on back and we actually take a look behind what we were told in the state-controlled schools or on corporate media, and we find out, it was just another lie to manipulate and maneuver us into doing what the government wants us to do. Okay, let's go to another phone call. Terry in California, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike. Last weekend, I flew from Denver to Los Angeles, and I don't fly that much anymore, but every time I do, seems like they add a layer of intrusion in my privacy, my private life. And I think, remember last time I had my license renewed, had to bring in my birth certificate and a proof where I lived. I don't know if you did that in your state, but they gave me a gold star in my new driver's license saying it was certified. And that it certified me as being there and that person. Last weekend, there was a thing on a sign of the TSA there that said we're going to need those driver's license certified to get through security. And when I went through, I gave him my driver's license. Last time I flew, he looked at me and looked down and gave it to me. But this time, he hit the barcode with a beeper. And I'm wondering, can they take your data? And TSA maybe has another list, database, where they say this guy flew on this flight on this date, to keep track of you. Is that possible?
I'm sure it probably is. I mean, the government's attitude is once we have the technical capability to do anything, let's go ahead and do it. And, they do have a database on people. That's how they enforce the no-fly list. Although mostly that is based on your passport. And when I renewed my passport, I got one of the ones with the built-in electronic device. There's a very thick part on the back page, and it says, do not bend or break. As far as the driver's license, Hawaii has now gone into compliance with this national ID standard, But Claire and I were able to renew our licenses before those requirements went on in because, I mean, we have the birth certificates, we have all the rest of it, but I don't have a Social Security card anymore. I mean, it was given to me on paper, and it's kind of dissolved back when Richard Nixon was in office. I've memorized my Social Security number. That's not the problem. But they're saying you have to actually present the paper Social Security card that you were given to validate your ID. Now, when I fly, and like you, I hate having to fly. I mean, I love the actual process of flying itself, but with all the TSA and everything else, you know, I really don't like to do it anymore. I'll take along my driver's license and my passport, even if it's an internal domestic flight, because between the two, you know, it's obvious who I am. Again, this is as much about creating jobs out of thin air as it is about real security, because we know that agents operating for nation states can acquire absolutely convincing perfect identification.
Well, if you took in your original Social Security card, it says not for identification purposes, right?
Yeah, well, that was the way it originally was. There was actually a law saying that the Social Security number could not be used for any other purpose than Social Security. And then all of a sudden, it's becoming the one-size-fits-all ID number for everything. And there were people who were at schools, colleges were using it as your standard file number. There was actually a time when it was being put on your driver's license as your ID number, and that, of course, led to a huge amount of identity theft that was going on. And the more they come up with these security systems, the more difficult it's making life for ordinary law-abiding citizens, and it doesn't seem to have slowed down the criminals one tiny bit at all, or the terrorists, again, witnessing what just happened in Barcelona.
Yeah, you know, when I was flying, there was a TSA guy. There was thousands of people there on Sunday in Denver, and TSA agents, you know, pointing that way to get people to walk that way. And I'm looking at this, and I'm saying, these people just blindly do what they're told. I mean,
yes,
we all do it. We take off our shoes. We empty our pockets. We give them our ID. So they got a clamp on what we're doing, and we comply with it. I mean, you know, if you – I know you have to, but if you stand back and look at this operation, it's like the sheep going to slaughter or something with just controlled by a few people.
No, it's like the Gestapo. Your papers, please, your papers, please, your papers, please. I'll tell you what I do. When I know I'm going to be flying, I'll wear the same pair of socks for like 2 weeks ahead of time. They make me take off my shoes. They're going to pay for it.
Yeah, well, one thing in my favor, if you're 75 or over, they don't let you, you don't have to take your shoes off now, but I beeped it and I had to take my shoes off anyway, you know. So anyway, I just wanted to, you know, say that. It seems like every time I go through, there's another layer of intrusion and control over my personal life, you know.
There's some politician's nephew needed a job, and you know, that's what they came up with. I mean, the security industrial complex, like the military industrial complex and the medical industrial complex, it's taken on a life of its own. It's kicked off, and it's big money, and it's big business, and it's not about your security. It's certainly not about your comfort. It's all about grinding more money out of the system for somebody who's at the top of the scam. I mean, Michael Chertoff, when he was head of Homeland Security, he's the guy who started all this stuff about the scanners and the cotton pads that they would wipe across your luggage and the rubber gloves and everything that was going on. Then he resigns as head of the Homeland Security and he starts a company, the Chertoff Group. And guess what they do for business? They sell airport scanners, the little swabs and the chemical tests for explosives and the rubber gloves. And Chertoff and his people are laughing all the way to the bank over what they were able to pull off on you, the American traveler.
And he's a dual citizen, you know, that dual citizen thing.
I know. We're definitely going to yank that in the blueprint for the new America. By the way, somebody wrote on in and said the reason they're now denouncing Teddy Roosevelt as a racist was his stated view that if you emigrate to America, you should assimilate into our culture and learn our language. And they're saying, oh, that's racism now. That's absolute racism. So that's why they want to knock his head off the Mount Rushmore, why they wanted to tear down his statue at the Museum of Natural History in New York.
Well, it seems to me like if you're a dual citizen, you can't serve two masters. So your real allegiance is probably to the other country, you know, other than that. the U.S. And
absolutely. That's the problem I have with it. We see all these dual nationals in our government, and very clearly their first allegiance is not to the American people and the American nation.
Right. Okay, Mike, I just wanted to make my point. I appreciate it. Thanks a lot, and we'll talk to you next time.
All right, thanks an awful lot. And we still have callers on the line, but we're coming up on a commercial break here. So I'm going to do a couple of real quick news stories. Back in 2015, getting on back to Charlottesville, back in 2015, there was this KKK group in South Carolina that was out there at this Confederate flag protest. I mean, that's when they started all this nonsense about tearing down the Confederacy. And so there was a KKK group that was out there, and they were angry and saying, you will not tear down this flag and monument and everything. And it turned out the head of that KKK group was an FBI undercover informant, Christopher Eugene Baker. So this is all being manufactured for public consumption, for the corporate media to present to you, oh, this is what's really going on in the world. No, it's a fiction. We'll be right back.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's Angioprim.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone. the panic is on. Can't get no wage, can't draw no pay. Unemployment getting worse.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. And listen, I understand that there are some people who are truly offended by images of founding fathers who owned slaves. And they're bothered by the fact that our currency has many of those on there. So here, as a service, by whatreallyhappened.com to the entire community, if you are truly bothered by your paper currency that has pictures of people like George Washington and Abraham Lincoln and various other slave owners on there, you just go ahead and you put them in an envelope and send them to me, and I will be happy to dispose of them for you. This is a free service we are offering, one time only, from whatreallyhappened.com and Republic Broadcasting to our community. Now then, latest from Barcelona, 13 dead, at least 100 injured in attack, 15 critical in the hospital. Boy, I have to wonder, how fast was that van going? Because I'm looking at those numbers and just thinking, there's a lot more dead and wounded than you would expect. Like that van was being rocket propelled or something. All righty, let's go back to the phones here. Steve in Massachusetts, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. I actually want to talk about that van in Barcelona.
Yes.
If you notice lately, a string of attacks by terrorism has been by car or truck or van.
Ever try and do one by skateboard?
No, not yet.
Well, there you go.
I wonder if this is a prelude of to what's to come. They're going to probably say, this is my theory, they're going to say, you know what, too many terrorist attacks of vans, cars, and people are reluctant to have driverless cars. A lot of them are.
Mm-hmm.
This is their way of introducing people, saying, you know what, we're not going to have these attacks anymore if we have driverless cars.
Well, that may be the sales pitch for that, but first of all, anybody who wants to carry out an attack, I mean, first of all, for something like 10 years, they'll still be able to buy used older cars that are self-driving, or they'll hijack the system completely. Because we know how easy it is to get into all these computer systems, and somebody who wants to carry out an act of terror is going to find a way around whatever self-driving mechanism they have. It's going to be that easy to do. And the idea of a self-driving car, first of all, for me, driving is fun. Out of the city. I don't like driving in the city. I certainly do not like driving down here at the bottom of the hill, doing the slalom in between all the construction for the light rail, which is dragging on, and it's a pain. In that context, I think I would welcome a self-driving car. But if I'm outside the city, I'm in the country, and I'm just enjoying the road, yeah, I want to be able to drive the car myself because I actually do enjoy cross-country driving. I've done the U.S. coast-to-coast no less than three times in my youth, and I enjoyed it. I got to drive on the real original Route 66 before it was decommissioned, as it were. And that was a real treat. That was a cross-section of Americana. So it's a mixed thing. But, yeah, everybody's going to use this event for their own particular agenda. Oh, it was ISIS. See, we've got to go back into Syria. All right, got to let you go here. Thank you very much for the phone call, and we'll be right back.
For you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. go to apsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to apsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I can get too. That's I-C-A-N-G-E-T, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at apsapart.com. That's APPSAPART.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.